I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Roger Grimes, Data-Driven Defense Evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing provider that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering. To learn more about KnowBefore, visit knowbefore.com. Hey, Roger, great to be speaking with you.
Hello, Hillary, and to everybody else that listens to us.
So, Roger, for this week, I want to start off our conversation about a story that I know we both read in the Wall Street Journal that covered how Wall Street has been ordered to pay $1.8 billion in fines over traders' use of banned messaging apps, with 11 banks and brokerages admitting that they violated rules that required storage of written communications. So, Roger, I'd love for you to take us through this story and the cybersecurity implications of these banks and these individuals using unauthorized messaging apps.
Yeah, you know, I think you did a really good summary. And, you know, overall, I think it's a good thing. Anytime anyone violates the law, I think they should be charged and whatever happens. So this is pretty wild and apparently very systematic. I wonder how many of them knew they were breaking the law. I have to assume probably all of them. Like you think, oh, they did it accidentally. You know, they're using WhatsApp or the Apple app or whatever. And you're like, no, when you become a broker, they literally, you have to go through training and certification and they really cover the laws really explicitly. And it's kind of funny. Dovetails, my wife and I watched one of my favorite movies last night, Adjustment Bureau with Matt Damon. It's came out in 2011. It's Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. And it's really cool movie, love story. I always love sappy love stories. During one point in the movie, and so this is 2011, his friend, they're working at some type of investment firm, and he tells his friend, oh, send me that message on my other phone because I'm not used to the new phone. And the guy says, no, you can't. You work for us now, and you have to use the firm's phone so all the communications can be recorded. Hey, buddy, you sign that bill, Sarbanes-Oxley, you sign that bill. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. So like even the movie characters, even actors portraying pretend stockbrokers know that you can't use and communicate on unapproved apps. I'll say you can communicate on unapproved apps. You can use WhatsApp and all these others and Slack and things like that. You just can't do it to conduct business. And so I'm glad. I was thrilled by the story. I'm delighted that it tells you that it's run rampant because it's happening everywhere. It's no doubt far worse than even what the article portrayed, which said it was pretty widespread. So this will hopefully, you know, this is kind of, hey, painful enough to knock them on the head and tell them to get back in line. But to be honest with you, I too wonder about it. Like, let's say in politics, you know, in America, you hear, and this is to bring up US-based stuff, and maybe we shouldn't bring up politics, but a lot of groups use secure apps or, you know, off-based apps to conduct coups, which is, you know, if it's a good coup, it's not a bad thing. You know, like right now in Iran, they have a lot of just demonstrators they're shutting, like, so the country of Iran is shutting down, you know, WhatsApp and Apple chat and all that stuff, because they're like, hey, if we stop these demonstrators from communicating, it makes it harder for them to coordinate their actions. That's true. But in our government, going back to our government, a lot of our government has for decades communicated using non-government based apps, and that's wrong. I mean, I don't care which side you're on and what political reference you're on, or whether you're a high-ranking official or, you know, just a low-ranking employee. If the law is the law, and if you're conducting government business, it's supposed to be in government systems. And, you know, sometimes people that are caught doing that are not always treated equally, but I wish it was. Like in the banking industry today, they're finding out because of this fine that, hey, everybody has to follow the rules. I kind of wish the same thing applied in our government, and everybody in our government followed the rules and conducted government business. And if, for a while, I started, when government officials not using the official government communication methods started to come out a decade or so ago, I started to keep a list of every government official that got caught using private applications to conduct government business. Again, it's not to conduct whatever business, government business. It ended up being like just about everybody. I mean, there were, you know, it's one of those things where it's easier to say who hasn't broken the law. And it was funny, even many of the people that were publicly going, I can't believe these people are using private email or private communications. This is terrible. Those very people were also caught doing the same thing. Like, it's super widespread. It's creating this even in organizations, there is this creating of kind of shadow organization or communications so that if your company gets subpoenaed, they won't know what to subpoena, or they, even if they subpoena particular subjects of particular conversations, they can't prove that you had those, you know, those communications on those other apps. It's really becoming a big, big problem. And I just want to, again, go on record as saying that, you know, you should follow the law. And I don't think people should be using unauthorized applications or even, let's say, authorized applications to avoid being caught breaking the law. You know, and that, it really drives back to the whole conversation about, you know, really you're getting into decentralized finance and cryptocurrencies and all. Like, why shouldn't, you know, anybody be able to communicate on any app that they want and not have government interference? Well, you know, it's because the government, at least in some good way, is trying to protect us from predators. And, you know, it's like in the cryptocurrency world, well, we need to have this decentralized finance and decentralized banks and decentralized loan things. And right now, the cryptocurrency industry is rife with criminals, like literally outright criminals, and not just small-time criminals, that, you know, the CEOs of multiple largest crypto companies have found out to either be criminals before they became those CEOs or criminals now. Like, they're on the run from the law. There have been trillions of dollars, there are certainly tens of billions of dollars stolen from well-meaning people. And, you know, people are like, oh my God, my money got stolen. Somebody should do something about that. Yeah, it's called government regulation. You know, and a lot of the solutions people are proposing to fix the rampant crime in the cryptocurrency and Web3.0 and metaverse, they sound remarkably like the normal government regulation we have. Is, you know, it's like the whole normal banking financial industry regulations, they came about over 400 years because of criminals stealing innocent people's money. And it, you know, sometimes I think the whole cryptocurrency thing, as they add more and more, you know, regulation into it, and, you know, all these firms are going to be treated like, a lot of the firms are going to be treated like investment vehicles, or one of them recently registered as an official bank. You know, I kind of laugh. It's like the entire crypto industry seems to be one big lesson in, oh, this is why we have all that red tape and government regulation to protect the innocent people from having their value stolen. And that's the same thing I'll put with these conversations. There's a reason why these conversations in financial markets and political organizations and stuff are required to be on record, right? It is to protect us against people that are doing illegal harm. And let me say that, you know, if you want to communicate privately about your own personal stuff and you're not breaking the law, go to it. But I don't want, I'm sorry, I have a line in the sand. If you're conducting something illegal over what you think is private communications, I wish you wouldn't. And I think you still should be arrested and charged. I think the laws are the laws. And whether you use approved communications or unapproved communications, you're breaking the law, and I'd rather them catch you. I am a law and order type of guy. I believe that we all should follow the laws. And if we don't like the laws, change the laws. And so, it's interesting. There is this new movement of decentralized communication and, the private communication, and it's being done by every industry. And I bet the problem that you're seeing in the the financial industry that was recently fined $1.8 billion, I assure you, it's in every other industry, and people are likely illegally communicating and not following the law. So, I mean, you know, if you go into the energy industry, you know, there are laws saying that information needs to be stored and used on the energy communication systems. And I no doubt people are just texting each other. And, you know, there's people setting up side deals, and there's people doing insider stock trading. And, you know, it's the nature of crime that they don't want to have their communication stored in the normal systems. And so they move to these shadow communication systems. And, you know, and if you're breaking the law, I think it's wrong and you shouldn't do it. And I see this huge movement to shadow communications that, again, if you're doing illegality, I think, you know, those illegal communications should be shut down, and you should be forced to use, and they should use the regular communication methods that are prescribed by law for that industry. So I would say that, you know, this article about the banks paying $1.8 billion, great thing. They need to be punished. They were breaking the law. They were knowingly breaking the law. Someone didn't accidentally do it, and most of them didn't. But it's probably far more widespread, and it is in every industry that has regulated communication methods. And there really needs to be something done, because I think it's super widespread and just going to get worse until, you know, the regulators make a move to stop these shadow communications from becoming widespread and default, as I think it's already become. This is just this article and what's happened to the financial industry, I think, is just the first nail in the coffin. And there's a lot more to come and fall over the next decade.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And as I was reading through the article, I was thinking about, you know, how does this trickle down and ultimately impact investors? And like, obviously, we know that they're, you know, we can probably say with pretty good confidence that they're using these messaging apps in this industry, in the finance industry, for that personal gain, like you're talking about, like insider deals, side deals, what have you. But I started to think about, you know, how does this affect us as far as like a tax surface goes? And as you brought up, you know, other industries that are most likely certainly doing the same thing with these shadow communications. You know, why is this something that we should all be concerned about beyond that need for, you know, proper record keeping to make sure that people aren't making extra money on the side?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it comes down to, you know, the criminals in those industries absolutely want, you know, off balance sheet communications. And you don't really want to harm, you know, the vast majority of people using private communications aren't doing anything illegal or unethical. And to me, there should be, you know, there should be privacy should be built into the Bill of Rights of the United States, that you have privacy unless someone tells you that you can't have the privacy. And that's always kind of that dual-edged sword, you know, security versus usability. But the sad fact is, in these regulated industries, they have to make everybody follow these rules that invade their privacy because of a few percentage of criminals. But again, I think if you look at the cryptocurrency industry as it is today, if you allow any industry to be unregulated and to use, you know, any communication method they like and stuff, they're just going to be rampant with criminals. And there's a whole reason we're in a civilized society. We're not in the wild, wild west anymore. And when you live in a civilized society, what you agree as a citizen of that society is that you're going to abide by all the laws, whether you agree with all the laws or not. And if you don't abide by the laws, if you speed, if you smoke pot or something like that, you may not agree that it's against the law, but you understand as a citizen that if you get caught and arrested because you broke that law, well, that's just the compact as a citizen you made with that civilized society. And I think it's the same thing with the regulated industries, is that they're just, when they're completely unregulated, all the players are allowed to be private, that it just leads to rampant criminality. And I think we're, you know, we're just seeing that cryptocurrency and Web 3.0 and all those are just, they're showing us like, oh, I want unregulated everything. Yeah, not so pretty of a place to be sometimes.
You know, as I mentioned, I'm sure, and as we've talked about, I'm sure the majority of those messaging privately and unauthorized apps, I'm sure they're also using personal devices. So that kind of leads me to my next topic, which centers around zero trust SIM and bring your own device security. Tech News World published a recent article in which you were quoted about Cloudflare's new zero trust SIM that's designed to secure every packet of data, leaving a mobile device. I'd love for you to tell us your thoughts on this and why an eSIM first approach is, you know, what that is, why it's important, and the challenges and what they have been with bring your own device security.
Yeah, let me be clear that I don't know anything about the actual solution, the zero trust SIM or the eSIM that Cloudflare made, other than what I read in that article. I will say that I don't think it means what we think it means. You know, I think it's some marketing stuff. But so SIM is subscriber identity module. Which on cell phones, it used to be this micro SD card memory chip that you put in your phone. You'd either put it behind the battery or there'd be this little slot and you had to pop it out with a paperclip. But the SIM, the subscriber identity module, essentially is this special memory area where your phone is your phone. It has your subscriber identification number. It could have your name. It essentially ties your phone to your phone network, AT&T versus Verizon or something. And SIMs will many times, the SIM information can be transferred by hackers to their phone. Your SIM information can be easily transferred to a hacker's phone. And then any authentication or like SMS communications that is tied to your phone number is transferred to the attacker's phone. The U.S. government has been saying since 2017 from the NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology, special publication 800-63, what's known as the Digital Identity Guidelines, the U.S. government has been saying not to rely upon any authentication method that uses the public switch telephone network. That just means telephone, the telephone, regular telephone network, or relies upon phone numbers. And that includes anything that's around SIM. So I think Cloudflare is attempting to go, hey, we have this new technology that involves the SIM, but you know, they're saying that it can prevent this what's called SIM swapping attacks. You know, so the hacker can't get your phone number and stuff. And I think that that's a really good thing if they really can do it. But from what I read, it appears that the phone vendors have to adopt that. It's not something that I could be wrong, but it appeared to me that your phone vendor provider had to adopt that solution. So I don't know how widespread it will be. The second thing, which it seemed to indicate, which to me was kind of interesting, was that they're saying, hey, we're going to encrypt every packet of your data after leaving the mobile device, that every packet will be secured, apparently involving something on this SIM, this you know, eSIM that they're creating. Let me say, I don't think that's true at all. I don't think it can be true. There's no way that that's true. I think, you know, that's a marketing thing. I think, and let me say, I could be wrong again, but I don't think anybody can encrypt every single packet coming off a cell phone, because then it's not going to work with the cell phone provider's network and the GSM network and nation. Like, literally, you cannot encrypt every packet leaving a mobile device. It's impossible, you know, because it's just not going to work on that network. I think what they intended to say is that it's going to encrypt a lot of the data that you care about, your app. My assumption is that, hey, your phone call data and your application data, we're going to encrypt using this SIM. As I've said in other talks, I don't think hardware-based cryptography is some magic bullet. You know, it's hardware and firmware. Software is just harder to patch, harder to update software. And I don't think hardware-based security is some magic bullet that's better than software-based security. But in Cloudflare, so I've got a couple of things that I'm not sure of about what they're doing. I don't know their solution, and they could email me or call me and tell me I was all wrong and they encrypt all data and all this other stuff. But the other thing they say is that we take all that encrypted data and we send it to our encrypted cloud. So I got to think that any person using this has to understand that Cloudflare has just said they're taking your data and sending it through their cloud product. Like, that seems to me to be a privacy step that a lot of people aren't going to go. I mean, you can or can't trust Cloudflare. I'm kind of neutral on Cloudflare. They, you know, they do a lot of great things. They've also hosted and protected a lot of malicious actors, but they're, you know, they're a good legitimate company. But I wonder how many people are going to like to hear that, hey, all your data, which their product encrypts, goes to their cloud. You know, it literally says the ZTSIM sends network traffic from the device to Cloudflare's cloud, where its zero trust policies can be applied to the data. You know, so there's good to that, because that means that they can, you know, apply policies that you probably want. Like, they claim that they can prevent employees from visiting phishing and malware websites because they'll automatically filter it using Cloudflare's gateway for DNS filtering. That's a good thing. But I have to think that you're like, wow, every single bit of my data or my employees' data is now going through Cloudflare's cloud. That's certainly, you know, single point of failure type thing. I mean, there's good and bad. It could be, yeah, it's absolutely good because I can control it. But now as a business, I'd be telling employees that the employee phones, whether they're owned by the company or owned by the employee, that their application data, you know, emails and browsing is now going to be going to Cloudflare's cloud all the time. And that may be all right. That may be exactly all right with you. But I think there's a lot of people that are these days going, you know, I'm not sure that's always so good. Although if you use Office 365, you're going through Microsoft's cloud. If you use Gmail, you're going through Google's cloud. But this would be, you know, it kind of interesting. If you use an Office 365 or Google, you're sending data to their cloud as well. And now you're going to be sending it to yet another cloud, Cloudflare. And, you know, again, it seems like there's many different benefits here, you know, and some people are going to say, hey, it's worth the benefits. I think if anybody can stop SIM swap attacks, that's a really, really good thing. Like, if you can, if any vendor, Cloudflare or otherwise, can stop SIM swap attacks where the hacker gets your phone number forwarded to their phone, and then they get your SMS-based messages and your phone calls, that's a really, really good thing. But to be honest with you, I'd prefer that to be blocked by the mobile phone vendors themselves. on a lot. I wish they would redo their phone protocol so that it would be stopped at a cell phone industry level, worldwide versus an individual vendor solving it. But hey, if Cloudflare can solve that problem and you don't mind your data going to the Cloudflare cloud, that's certainly not a bad thing. So overall, it sounds like I've been kind of negative here. I'm actually, I'm neutral on it. I don't know really how their product works and that sort of stuff. I do like what they, say that they can do, but it's I think it's a little bit over. I'm always skeptical of anything that's oversold. And when they go, it's designed to secure every packet of data leaving the mobile device. That is not true. There's no way that that's true. Because again, they can't take over every packet heading out of your cell phone, or your cell phone wouldn't operate as a cell phone. But I'm sure that they secure a lot of the data and a lot of and large parts of the data. So, and that's a good thing if you can trust Cloudflare.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think you brought up a lot of really good points and made me think, as an employee, would I be receptive to this type of security being installed on my personal device? I know that BYOD has been problematic because just for that, it's my cell phone, but at the same time, it's the company's IP, what have you. There's a lot of gray area there, but if it's putting every packet to the cloud on my personal device, I don't know if I want that. You know what I mean? I guess, how do you go about this with employees, and how do you get them to want to be more secure with their personal devices, using them for business purposes?
Yeah. Great point. And you hit the money on the head. And, let me say, I've had that in the past when I belonged to Microsoft and I wanted to access Microsoft data. I had to install, a Microsoft phone managing client on my phone. So it's not completely unheard of at all. But I would say that more and more people are getting a little bit more cautious in installing another application that sends their data, all their data, from their phone to some corporate managed thing, where they can read everything or see everything or whatever it might be. So it'd be interesting to see how this turns out. My guess, and I could be wrong, is that, but my best guess, and I'm usually right, is that I don't think this has become something very large and widespread. Even though there are some good things about it, if they can prevent SIM swapping attacks, if they can help filter and prevent people going from phishing websites and stuff, that's nothing but a good thing. But I don't see this becoming a widespread solution, although certainly some of the things they're trying to accomplish, it would be great if they were widespread.
Well said as always, Roger. And thank you again for taking the time to join us. And it was lovely speaking with you.
Yes. Always, Hillary. Always with you and everybody else that shows up to listen to me run my mouth.
Thank you, Roger. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
I'm Hillary McClure, Vice President of Multimedia Productions at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Roger Grimes, data-driven defense evangelist for KnowBefore, the world's first and largest new school security awareness training and simulated phishing provider that helps you manage the ongoing problem of social engineering.